The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Today's episode is brought to you by Munchie Mug, the world's number one premium no-spill snack cup. Listen to today's episode for a special offer from Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, making your life less messy. Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me on the due south wall of our state-of-the-art recording studio slash our bedroom is my lovely wife, my CFO, my best bud, my hiking partner, and the co-host of this podcast, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. We have a lot to discuss. We were going to be all over the place. We've got some...
part of the course.
We've got some bingo dingos. We are going to talk a little bit about some hobbies. I want to talk a little bit about the World Cup. We got a weekend recap. We got lots going on. I just got fired by my agent. I am ready to go.
Let's go.
Let's go. I am revved up, baby. Yesterday, you know, you guys, Hollywood and life is about highs and lows. Yesterday, mm-hmm. I hit 100,000 followers on my Instagram, and I got booked for another big opportunity. I'm very excited. And the next day, my agent called to dump me because life is about balance. Ladies and gentlemen.
And he called you at 7 a.m.
He called me at 7 a.m. to dump me. And I was like, I mean, I'm not a lot. Do you not know what state I'm in? But we're not going to go into that. And I'm not going to take it personal. That was very much the Captain America elevator scene at the end.
This feels personal.
There he goes. This is nothing personal, Cap, as they're attacking him. And he goes, kind of feels personal. But alas, we move forward, everybody. Because at the end of the day, no one will believe in you as much as you believe in yourself. The key to whatever dream you're chasing is to find the people in your life who believe in you, feel what you're doing, get what you're doing, and you don't have to convince them to work for you. You don't have to convince them to believe in you. They just get it and they go to bat for you. And ultimately, if you're listening to this podcast, you are one of those for me mm-hmm. and for us, and it means the world to us. So thank you so much, Backseaters.
Yes,
onward we go.
Should we just really quickly mention that we had a great Zoom hang on Sunday?
Oh, Patreon Zoom hang.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of true believers, that was a fun Zoom hang. The 10 or 12-ish of you that showed up.
Yeah, we had
a good
time. We covered all the bases.
We covered what you did for Halloween and whether or not you were a Halloween Scrooge like Trey was, our backseater Trey, mm-hmm. or whether or not you were a Halloween spark plug, a holiday spark club like Demarius. Mm-hmm. Who
changed her cul-de-sac
changed
around.
The culture of her cul-de-sac by becoming, you know,
the holiday house.
The holiday house. She brought Christmas town to her Halloween town and transformed it. Now everybody does it. So I love it. Good stuff. If you guys aren't familiar with Patreon, it's just a way that you can give a little more to the podcast and get a little more in return, including a Patreon Zoom hang.
That's right.
Some discounted merch.
And
you have how many weeks before you get into the Christmas card?
2 weeks to get yourself on the Nickerson family Christmas card list.
So check that out, mm-hmm. everybody. There'll be a link in the description here.
That's right.
Also, upcoming headlining shows, January 6th and 7th, Helium Comedy Club in St. Louis, February 8th, Denver, Colorado. There'll be more on there. I was waiting for my agents to send me the dates. But now I'm without representation.
Coming soon.
It's all right. So there will be more dates, and they'll be booked a lot faster because it's good old Dusty Nickerson at gmail.com.
What about the Unwrapped tour?
Oh my gosh. Still on Dusty Nickerson unwrapped again. That might be a little too insider for folks. So
yeah. Just an inside joke for us.
Oh, it's too much. It's too much. So if you guys want to come out to that shows, that would be fantastic. Yeah. We would love to see you out there. Mel, I want to do something real quick. Yeah. So we have real friends of the pod here, you know, kind of the extended Harris clan. You know, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't realize all the mutual connections.
Yeah. All Harris is connected.
We have like multiple patrons from like the same right. family.
And,
yeah.
And one of the things that you get as a patron at a certain level is a free Cameo. You can also just, I'm on Cameo if you want to do that. My agent doesn't get a cut. Sorry, that's going to be a reoccurring theme of this episode. You can get a Cameo through being a patron. And we did this one on, I did do this video one, but I want to do a shout out here on the pod to Cindy Harris, who is her birthday, who is in Alabama with her three girls by herself for her birthday because her husband just got sent to Korea for a year. So Air Force. And I know that's near and dear to you, Melissa, as a military child yourself, yep. living in a military town. But we wanted to say happy birthday to you, Cindy.
I've been to Korea.
You have been to Korea.
I've been to the Seoul, I believe is the Air Force base.
That checks out.
I could be wrong, but I think that's the city it's in.
Mm. Well, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Cindy.
You know, Dan, stay safe out there in Korea, whatever's going
on.
That's
right.
You know, a lot has been said, and we don't talk much military politics on here, but what we do say, and we've said this a lot, is this is an incredible sacrifice for the families at home. It is obviously a sacrifice for the soldiers, but the families at home, it's incredibly hard and worrisome and lonely, and, you know, we really feel for you, and happy birthday down there in Alabama.
And hang in there. Yep.
And hang in there. Quick weekend recap for the both of us. Mine, I was in what I think is the most underrated state in the country, North Carolina. I love North Carolina. I'm a big fan of North Carolina. North Carolina has three great cities, Raleigh, Charlotte, and Wilmington. One's a college town, one is like a businessy town, and the other kind of has like a retirement town. So you kind of get the three life stages there. If you want to go to college and then be an adult in Charlotte and then retire in Wilmington, you don't even have to leave the state of North Carolina. Love me some North Carolina. And then we also had a show in Greensboro, which was super fun. So add Greensboro to the list, though I don't know anything about Greensboro beyond that show that I did. But lovely folk, nice people. It was great. I saw an old youth group student, Max, which was a lot of fun, and we caught up. Hello, Max, if you're listening. It was nice to spend time with them. And it was minimal driving, a decent amount of sleep. The University of Washington Huskies beat the Oregon Ducks. Huge win. That was my big win for the weekend. Yeah, I sold out shows with Tay and following and Huskies beat the Ducks, and that's a good feeling. And that happened right in time for Grandpa Don, who is a Ducks fan, to move back in the house. I know he's not real thrilled about that, but and then the Seahawks lost the next day, but it didn't matter because we were so good. Mm-hmm. The Huskies win felt so good. I'm trying to think of anything. Oh yeah, so we went to like Charlotte has like their like hipster area.
Never been.
It's like Noma or something like that. I don't even know. You know they have like the four letter nickname.
Numa.
Yeah, Noda. You saw Noda. Noda. Yeah, Noda. 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 And it was cool, but then it was so funny because Tay booked us a hotel that was kind of outside the city, which didn't really matter to me. This Thursday night football was in Charlotte, and so we happened to be at the hotel that not the players, but a lot of the broadcast team was at. Okay. So I walked in, I was like, "That's Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that's Tony Gonzalez." That's the second random time I've seen Tony Gonzalez in my life. and then as I was later on the night, I was talking on the phone with Aaron Weber. I was just walking around outside, and the shuttle pulled up, and it had like the Amazon TNF Thursday Night Football logo, and I was like, "I bet they'll somebody come out." And then Al Michaels, who's like the voice of like football, popped out of the van, and
that's
fun. Yeah, it was. But then I was like, "I feel bad that you had to take the shuttle van, Al." It's just a reminder that, you know, life isn't always super glamorous. That guy was on TV. That guy has been like the voice of National League football for decades, And he's got to take the shuttle van. Maybe he's just humble and he's like, I'm willing to take the shuttle.
He doesn't need a driver.
But he was pretty old. I don't know how old Al Michaels is. I can certainly find out.
Well, but they have a whole staff and crew.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So Al, but sometimes you think the talent gets...
Yeah.
You know, a driver.
Al Michaels is 78 years old.
Wow.
Al Michaels was born in 1944. I mean, maybe he's humble, but I'm like, dude, give him the car. Give Al the car.
Right.
He looked like a 70-year-old.
Well, because you have to go up all the stairs. And,
On a
shuttle.
He looked good for a 78-year-old, but a 78-year-old can only look so good getting out of a shuttle van, you know, climbing from the back or whatever. Or at least give him the shotgun. Give him shotgun. Give Al shotgun.
Oh, they didn't?
Maybe he didn't call it. Maybe he didn't call it. You don't call shotgun. It doesn't matter how old or how famous you are. Shotgun, the rules apply to everybody. So, but then one of the time
the wrong person always calls shotgun.
Right. Taylor's sister and partner live in Charlotte, so we met up with them a couple times, and then we went to Noda, the like hipster cool area, and we walked around, and I was like, and first Taylor and like, oh yeah, cool, we found the cool place, this is cool, and then you go and you're like, oh, this is like all the cool places, they're all the same.
Did you get any brunch? That's my assumption.
We got tacos, which is kind of in the same vein of and were they good? They were fine. I don't want to eat tacos on the road. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't.
You want to go to the South and have tacos?
I live 15 minutes from Mexico, everybody. You don't understand. It's Taco Tuesday today. This is like an institution in the Nickerson family. It's Taco Tuesday. And it's not Mel making white people taco nights. It's we're going, and you make pretty good tacos.
They're fine.
I mean, but compared.
Oh, I made those like carne ones.
You made the carnes, which were fantastic. Yeah. You know, but you're not just pouring out the corn out of the can. And, you know, huge diced tomato. It's not, you know.
Right.
It's not that. Yeah. But
it's not a taco salad from cafeteria.
Exactly. It's real Mexican food here, guys. So that being said, it was fine. But Charlotte, the city, I like Charlotte a lot. And even though it was pretty rainy, but, you know, it was overall pretty good. And we both saw Black Panther, which we'll do.
Wakanda Forever.
We'll do a bingo dingo at the end of that. So how was your weekend? What'd you do?
That was kind of my big thing was we saw Wakanda Forever on Thursday.
Yeah. You bought a ticket. Mm-hmm. You bought four tickets. You have a family of five.
Well, actually bought like eight tickets.
Well, the point is, the family is into Marvel movies because of me.
That's true.
I am the...
You're the glue?
No, I'm not the glue. I thought I was. And then you didn't even consult me. And you're like, hey, I booked the tickets to see these with a friend and some friends while you're out of town. Right before a huge break comes where we would be able to see them. And you never gave me the opportunity.
No,
and I didn't like the way that it feels.
We could have only seen it Thanksgiving week. You know, the teenagers were going to see it no matter what.
Right.
That weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 6 weeks ago,
okay, that's like, fair. I guess the teen element.
I need
is
a win.
True.
I'm gonna book this. We have a family. We go to movies with. We all kind of gel. I booked them. We all sat together. It wasn't crazy,
right?
You know, we just 7:30 showing on a Thursday night. No school the next day,
right?
It was just like I wanted to see it and I wanted to pick
the group.
The teens
situation,
would have like asked to go last minute. I would have to drive them, and then I don't get to watch it. Claire doesn't get to watch it.
Yeah.
So we just kind of made it happen.
Right.
I mean, Gloria went again the next day with some friends because it was Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was great. It was so fun to get to see it opening like weekend.
How was the energy in the theater? Were like people clapping and getting excited
clapping.
And stuff?
I mean, there were like babies in our movie.
Right.
It wasn't
right.
some late night showing of just like young people.
Right.
And also the place we chose is like very much just families.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's not like some upscale theater. Like
it's not it's like the this is where everyone's going to cheer and freak out type opening night theaters.
Yeah, like the Cold Stone is across.
Yeah.
Like a stone's throw away. Like it's very.
The Cold Stone's away.
It's very family friendly.
You're near a Panera.
Yeah. It's
you're
not
near a Walmart.
It's not fancy.
No.
It's not a fancy place to
not
watch
a fancy
a movie.
Theater. It's an affordable
it's not,
theater, though.
It's very affordable, though.
Whereas Tay and I were sitting in recliners.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We were trying to decide on which popcorn to get. This nice little concession worker gave us the bucket, and then he gave us two boxes of extra popcorn, just like that you would put a bunch of snacks
in. Like the one you do for the kids' meals, those type things?
Bigger.
Yeah, bigger than the kids? Oh.
He just doubled our popcorn for no reason.
Amazing.
Because he knew like the four of us were sharing it.
Wow. Like, that's a low end theater type thing right there.
It was great. And then it was just a bunch of kid stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And they had that creepy doll preview. How did Claire do with that?
Okay. Well, do you want to do the Bingo Dingo for Black Panther?
Sure. Let's just we'll do a Bingo Dingo of Wakanda Forever. I'm going to give it a 4.9 out of 5. And the only reason it's not 5 out of 5 is no movie, Batman, Lord of the Rings, whatever it is, I will never give a 5 out of 5 movie for something that's almost 3 hours long. I just can't do it. I can't. It's 2 hours and 47 minutes. And maybe it is good all the way through, but anytime you have to actively plan out your pee, it can't be a 5 out of 5 experience.
Well,
it can't.
Yeah,
it can't.
You're trying to find the moment that is a good time to go.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, well, I hope anybody doesn't die while I'm gone.
Yeah, we totally missed plot when Claire had to go.
That's 100% accurate. Yeah, and the more people you go with, the more that happens.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was a great sequel. Is that?
Yes, that's called a sequel.
I thought the villain was really good.
Namor was incredible. And now it's a weird time for comic book fans, because now all of a sudden everybody knows and loves Namor, and you're like, what?
Yeah, that used to be a very subculture. Like
Namor? You guys love Namor? I mean, you know how long I've been saying, like, he's not just Marvel Aquaman. He's got some other things. Yeah. He's got the little wings. And you're like, even comic book fans, you're like, I mean, I've been putting up with that green Speedo for 30 years that he wears in the comics. But now you guys all just know and love him too. It's not a bad thing. It just feels kind of weird. Sometimes you get a band. You adopt a band and you're like, everyone, this is going to be the biggest band in the world and everyone's going to be excited about it. And then sometimes you like a band that kind of sucks and you know it sucks, but then now everybody likes it. And you're like, wait, no, that band sucked. I just liked them and I just had to put up
with them. Well, you do kind of like having a favorite no-name band. And then you're like, no, you can't get big. You're my band.
I totally agree, but this is a different thing. You knew the band sucked. Namor was not a good comic book character. He had some interesting arcs here and there and stuff, but he looked terrible.
Yeah.
So cheesy looking. He was somehow, Aquaman was already kind of a character, but then Namor was an. And now he's like celebrated. It's a bizarre thing.
But do you think it was just that actor and, you know, all the way
there? Googler, it's the director.
Just in the same way that Jason Momoa from Aquaman.
No, those weren't great movies. That was just him being cool. This actor's very cool and just in cool movies, because everything in this movie is cool. So 4.9 out of 5 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yours was 5 out of 5. Let's be real.
Yeah, I really liked it. It kind of blew my mind that there was like another world like Wakanda, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, like a private, hidden, world. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Beautiful. So you recommend it. What do you recommend as far as watching it with young kids?
Yeah. So Claire cried a couple times during it. And
so did I.
Yeah, I think a lot of people shed some tears in this. And so I was worried because I wanted to watch Black Panther with her to kind of prep her.
Right.
Because it's been a couple of years, you know.
Right, right. Ends up you should have, right? Because he forgot about a couple key characters.
No, but I was like happily reminded of them.
Right,
but,
right.
But he's in the other, you know, Marvel movies, some of them. I was worried that it was going to be too sad for her. And it was sad, but she was with a friend and me and it was okay.
It depends
on for 8-year-olds.
Well, here's the thing.
But it is for families.
One of the things that I like about Claire is she doesn't mind crying when she's being sad. She doesn't want to be scared. And those are different. This movie's not scary. It's not going to scare your kid.
Yeah,
there are
some
intense moments, but it's not going to scare your kid. Your kid might get sad like any adult. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm more concerning if you didn't get emotional during that movie. You're like, this is, you know, this deals with,
deals with
some
so
heavy
much.
Things.
And I was
including the death of a character that we all know about, because that person died in real life, you know? And so kind of memorializing Chadwick and then the character and then also moving forward. And you're like, this is a lot to deal with.
Well, and it has a lot of like faith and science kind of
Yeah, that stuff was fun.
It's great. It's really good.
Really, really good. 4.9 out of 5. If it were 15 minutes shorter, it would get to 5 out of 5. But I had to pee. Also, I was in a nice theater, which means I had a recliner chair and one large Hazy Little Thing IPA, which is one of our favorite beers to drink. But you cheated on me first. And so Melissa drank that.
So I saw the movie Thursday.
Yes.
I did not have a beverage.
Well, I don't think that theater serves a total beverage. I'm not even sure they serve some weird off-brand colas there.
I know.
Like, sir, you can get an RC cola. That's all we have. They actually just have cans from Kmart. Shasta.
You can just get a 12-pack of soda.
There's no fountain drinks. A low-end theater has just old cans and then the little Hostess pies. That's all they serve.
Little Debbie's?
The pie.
The pie.
Not the actual pie.
Okay.
You know, the like little tiny, you know what I'm talking about? It's like a little turnover shaped pie, the little hand pie. You're like, ooh, I'll take apple or berry. I think those are the only kinds. So that's the type of low-end theater. The theater that Melissa's referring to is one of those theaters that you go, any day now, you will switch to being the dollar theater that shows the old movies. Because that's what happens to outdated theaters.
I don't feel like we have a dollar theater around here.
I don't know if those are still a thing. Are those still a thing? They were. I think there might be one in Coronado or something like that.
Really?
I'm not sure. It's not nice.
I think streaming and stuff.
It's the perfect movie.
COVID dollar theaters died.
It's a good movie if you're buying a bunch of tickets because it's not expensive. That's why
it's a good theater.
Oh, yeah. Also when like your 8-year-old's like, we want to see Sonic. And you're like, this is the perfect theater to see Sonic in. Because I don't want to spend $16 to go see Sonic.
They also have like a Sunday food pack that's like, you get like 2 popcorns and a ton of stuff for like $15.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah. They give you the cardboard thing, but they don't give you a munchie mug. And you could use a munchie mug because I will tell you that popcorn spills, especially movie theater popcorn when you're just grabbing the whole thing with the hands or Smart Pop in our house or Smart Pop, oops, all berries, whatever it may be. That's it's a new one that came out.
Really?
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, wow.
Oops, we forgot to put the crunch in. You remember the old commercials? They'd be so over the top. We made a mistake. Bam, bam, bam.
Factory closed.
It can't be all berries. They're already in the truck.
And then the truck is dumping the berry.
Yeah. That's you just don't get that quality of writing anymore.
I don't
know if that's a good or bad commercial, but I don't know. Maybe that guy's agent dumped him too. Anyways, guys, if my relationship with my agent would have been in a munchie mug, it wouldn't have spilled out. If you aren't familiar with Munchie Mug, everybody, Munchie Mug is the best spill-proof cup on the market.
That's right.
We're big fans of it here, the product here on the podcast. Totally spill-proof, dishwasher safe, made right here in the U.S., and a variety of colors. And if you go to munchiemug.com and use promo code DON'TMAKEME, that's all one word, don't make me, you're going to get 25% off your entire order. That's munchiemug.com, promo code DON'TMAKEME, all one word, no apostrophe, to get 25% off your entire order. Munchie Mug.
Making your life less messy.
Boom, boom, boom. Before we get started, I did want to, there were two comedy legends that passed away this last weekend. I don't know if you saw this. Maybe you probably did Gallagher.
I saw that.
And and Bud Freeman. Gallagher was a complicated personality within the comedy community, you know, but he's passed now and he's certainly a legend. And there was certainly a time in my life where I liked watching his comedy a whole lot. And I know he brought a lot of joy to a lot of people for a long time there. They had some ugliness kind of at the later of his life for some of the comments and stuff that he was making, and it was somewhat nicely encapsulated in the Marc Maron interview. But regardless, rest in peace to him, and it's a sad day. And then Bud Friedman, who founded the Improvs.
Oh, really?
The biggest comedy clubs in the country, and I used to watch the tail end, and they're actually on Amazon now, Evening at the Improv. He hosted them. It was a regular. It's crazy how many names you can go back and see Evening at the Improv. I don't know. You will be hard pressed to find a non-comedian who had a bigger impact in the comedy world than Bud Freeman. The putting it on TV with the Evening at the Improv, and then just his clubs, which treat comics fairly, and we all want to work. The improvs, yeah. Improvs are the gold standard of where you want to work. We're obviously really close to a lot of people who work for Levity, and so, you know, we've seen them kind of publicly sharing stories, and I never met Bud, but I'd heard the best things, and that he was a good, kind, fair guy who gave people a lot of opportunities. And so I'm also, you know, rest in peace to him. I told this to Tay when we were on the road. I'm trying to, and this is especially in the world that we live in, I'm trying to, when someone passes, mm-hmm. to just feel it for a second.
Yeah.
Because it's very mm-hmm. easy. What my brain usually does is go, how old were they? And then if they were old, I'll feel okay about it. And now I'm like, well, that still sucks.
Still have loved ones.
And that's what you do. You want to take the beat for them and just go. That's a loss. That's a loss for the comedy community. It's a loss for that family. And I think that's a very human thing that I'm trying to get better at, of just when you hear that someone passes away, regardless of who they are, just take a beat. Just feel it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then realize that day will be forever remembered in a lot of people's lives. Because this is a tragic day for a lot of people. The people close to them, that's a tragic day.
Mm-hmm.
Norm, before he died, he talked about how, Norm MacDonald, how he talked about in an interview, he goes, it's very, I'm paraphrasing here, it's he goes, it's crazy how quickly people kind of move on and categorize you after you pass. Because you know what the biggest difference is your Wikipedia entry switches from is to was.
Ooh.
So Norm MacDonald is a Canadian-born comedian known for his roles on Saturday Night Live, Dirty Deeds, or whatever it may be. And then it says, all that changes is Norm MacDonald was. And he goes, and it happens like very fast.
Wow.
And so it's good to take a beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to take a beat.
Be human.
Be human, to mm-hmm. feel it a little bit. So speaking of someone who's aging that is not dead yet and is still standing, that we saw live last week was Elton John. Holy smokes. I'm not going to talk a ton about this concert because I'm talking about it on stage right now.
Yeah.
With quick bingo dingo review of Elton John, 75 years old, the farewell tour, Wednesday night at Petco Park.
Yeah, so I've never been to a concert at Petco Park.
You've never gone to a stadium show.
I was going
to
say, I've only been to like one or two or three arena.
Yeah.
You know, I usually pick smaller bands with smaller venues,
for
concerts. So it's very funny. Everybody was mad getting in, about parking and traffic and the lack of attendance, the long lines.
Yeah. And they did send you an email that said like, this show starts at 8. Elton has no opener. I've never had more mm-hmm. advanced communication about a show, which I loved, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're like, our doors are at 6.
You want to know when the headliner's getting on.
They're like, our doors are at 6. We recommend that you get here around 6.
Yeah.
And
I was like, they just want you to eat there. But really, it's just like all those people. And, you know, the staffing that they could provide, they're like, no, just get here early.
It's 46,000 people.
Yeah.
Getting 46,000 people into their seats. I mean,
on a Wednesday night.
Right.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday night downtown.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It's dark.
Crazy,
it's
crazy,
winter.
Crazy. So many people. And we got there fairly early, in part because we were just like, well, we'll just leave the kids. Why not leave a little early? We'll get down. It took a long time to find parking.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, well, maybe just grab a quick drink or food. And then we kind of got close to the stadium. You're like, well, let's just go in.
We were
and
looking
then,
at the lines. Yeah.
And then it took so long mm-hmm. to get in and the merch lines and the food lines that we got into our seat like 6 minutes before the show started.
So
we didn't have a second to spare.
It was like every line was just nuts.
Yeah.
Like the bathroom line and everyone was mad. But then once the show started, it was just fantastic.
Yeah. People were crying. Mm-hmm. We got ID'd. You feel young. You feel real young at the Elton John concert. Not just because of Elton, because everyone else around you is pretty old. And,
That was part of your... One of your jokes was about helping.
You're just helping people
photos.
With their phones.
Yep.
All night.
Mm-hmm.
There was you like if you show someone how to zoom on their phone, they're gonna look at you like you invented that phone. Like, how do you know this dark secret? Who taught you this sorcery?
You're such a performer.
So good.
It was so good. And it really was just like him and his piano.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a band.
No, the band was a huge part of it. But, you know.
No, I know. But I think what I mean is like there were not dancers.
Yeah.
There were not like.
No,
some background vocals, but like
some weird screen imagery that at times you're like, I don't know if I need all this.
Yeah, some of it looked like a Gap ad from the 90s.
Yeah, yes, 100%.
But
Elton sounds great. His voice is there. He's hitting the notes. He's not hitting every note. He's not doing the...
Yeah, he went down a couple times. Yeah,
but he's also 75, so I don't, you know, it's like Joni Mitchell. She talked about it with Elton John. That she's like, I'm not a soprano anymore.
Right.
What's the one down? Alto. I'm an alto. Mm-hmm. She's like, my voice went down. I have a different voice now. Yeah, and you can, if you listen to Elton John in the 70s versus this 90s Lion King stuff, then he doesn't play the Lion King stuff, which thank goodness. Nobody wants to hear the Lion King stuff.
Circle of Life.
Yeah, we all like those songs just fine, but for what they were for, nobody needed to see that. It is interesting that he doesn't play it though. It's an interesting artistic choice when he's like, yeah, no, I'm not doing this.
Do you think Disney would want him to add it to the set list?
An interesting thing. I don't know.
I don't know.
Listen, when I saw Aerosmith live, they sang Don't Want to Miss a Thing. I'm on a good man. They sang the crap out of that song, but that's not Disney. It's a different thing. Regardless, yeah. I will give it a 4.9 out of 5 because it was 2.5 hours. And there's just no concert at my age that I need to be 2.5 hours.
Couple songs you could have skipped.
There were four or five in the middle that I do say he did play one. He's like, we haven't played this in a long time. Me and the band love it. And that song did wail. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, when the artists want to play a song.
Yeah, they really perform it. Now, Elton has so many hits that you were like, geez, I mean, you're almost 2.5 hours of hits.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's amazing how many of these songs that they... One of my favorite parts of the night was that we were next to a real old boomer, and she was like almost upset at how well I knew the music. She's like, this is my era. And I was like, do you think that you own Elton John? I was like, Elton John has been relevant since the 70s. Elton John had hits in the 70s and 80s. And then in the 90s, he reemerged with the Lion King and the re-release of Candle in the Wind when Princess Di passed. And then in the 2000s, he was still around. He was like at the MTV Movie Awards with Eminem and stuff. And then the movie comes out. Mm-hmm. And then now he has a number one album again right now because he's doing all these re-releases with Dua Lipa and Britney Spears and stuff. And you're like, aren't kids like Elton John?
Well, and he's
and now the show's
touring?
About to be on Disney. Yeah.
Yeah, he's finishing touring, but the show's going on Disney Plus, like his Dodgers concert. And he's still doing a ton of other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So what's your rating?
I feel a lot of pressure here. I'm going to say 5 out of 5. I'm going to do it. Mel's going to do it. Yep.
5 out of 5. Elton John. It does feel weird not giving a 5 out of 5.
Well, what is it? Like, he's been performing for 55 years.
Yeah, you're like, who are you to not give this? He did the Troubadour in 1970, and that was like the launch of his career.
And so you're just like, wow, it's impressive.
Pretty incredible. Okay, switching topics here. I wanted to say I haven't said this on the pod recently. I wrote it down for a while ago.
All right.
About a month ago, you farted in front of me, and I have thought about that fart every day.
Okay.
Because I love when you fart around me.
What?
I love it. I love it so much because you don't fart a lot. It just feels really special when you do. And I'm not talking about the traveling toots.
Sure.
I'm just talking about a rare, because a lot of the time it happens because I'm like tickling you or making you laugh. And other times it just happens and...
Because I don't remember it.
I do.
Yeah.
I love when you fart around me. I love it so much.
All right.
Because it's rare and it's, I guess I would compare it to like an eclipse. And that I know that they happen. I just always seem to miss them.
Yeah.
And so this is not me telling you that I want you to do it around me more. I'm not saying that. Don't hear that. I'm just saying don't be embarrassed when they do happen.
All right.
You know?
After 21 years?
21 years together.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel when it happens? Are you embarrassed?
Yeah.
What is it? Melissa, why would you say you're embarrassed?
Oh, what? You know what?
Yeah.
If we're doing therapy, I get to talk today.
Yeah, if anything, that's all. That's it. I just wanted to tell you that you have full permission to do that around me. But it's not a power. I don't want you to like abuse it. But I also wanted to talk
really
about
control it.
Appointments. Yeah. Why are there so many?
We've been having so many appointments. It's awful.
Melissa, why do we have so many appointments?
Because when you're in an appointment, you have to make like two more appointments.
Do you?
Yeah.
Or is that just how they get you?
That's how they get you.
I feel like
we're almost, give it seven more days and most of the appointments are done.
Till when? Till the January round of them?
I know. It's too many. It's too many.
I guess
you should not have five people in one house.
Yeah, six.
Well.
No, we don't go to his. Yeah. Sometimes we drive him to him, though. It's
too many appointments.
I didn't realize how much of parenthood was appointments.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the early years, you have to go at 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 2 months. Like,
right.
Constantly for the checkups and right. the health. There's that. And then it kind of goes to a year.
Some of it.
And then you got to do the conferencing once a year with the teacher.
Right, right.
Those are all givens. But and then if you do orthodontics and we did two at once. So that's a ton of appointments. But then if you have a kid that, needs services, that aren't at the school.
It's just so many appointments. It ends up being
so many.
This is what I realized. The reason that you go to the doctor a lot when you're pregnant is A, to check on the baby, and B, to train you to start going to appointments.
Oh, yeah. Buckle up.
And they kind of ease in.
A lifetime, literally, of appointments.
This is what you do now. Mm-hmm. When you have kids, this is what you do now. That really is, how they have like before you have kids, the classes. The appointments are the real classes. They're just going, the work that you did to diagnose that you're pregnant, for lack of a better word, and then call a medical professional and then schedule come to the meeting, get their thing, and then reschedule it. That is the rest of your life. This is the rest of your parenthood life.
It's just like how you can't sleep when you're pregnant.
Right.
And then you're like, well, get ready.
It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you're going to have a live baby. and then you're going to have a teenager.
And now two of you can't sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so much. I think we have four this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the problem too, is like, we want you there and we want you involved. So then we work and work out and go to appointments when you're home.
Yeah, I get it. It's a lot. And you know what? I don't need the small talk in appointments either. Like, we were rescheduling, we're signing Claire up for some more kung fu, and he sat down and I was wearing this Black Panther shirt, and he like wanted to talk about Marvel movies for like 10 minutes. I'm like, no. Tell me the price.
Tell me the price.
I scheduled this appointment during her half an hour lesson.
I need to go sit in my car for 20 minutes.
I need to go look at TikTok on my car for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. I'm going to 22 minutes. I'm going to look at her start of her class for 2 minutes, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to watch the last 2 minutes and be impressed by how well she's doing. But there's not really a viewing area, so it's not like I'm skipping out on this. I need this 22 minutes. This is a sitcom. I need a sitcom of TikTok in my van. And I knew when I had the meeting, this could take 10, but it took the full 22. It took the full 22 minutes.
Oh, gosh. That's so unnecessary.
I'll talk about Marvel movies with people, but not this guy. And he's nice. I like him a lot.
They're the kind of group that, like, they won't give you a price until you sit down in the office.
And why do I have to tell you my favorite Marvel movie before you tell me you're raising the rates? I don't understand.
I mean, you would know you sold gym memberships. There's like that, like, back and forth banter. Yeah.
But you got to read when people want it and they don't want it.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes you just got to get to the punch, you know, like when my agent fired me today, he just got to it. There was no frivol. There was no small chat. That was just, hey, we're done with you. it hurts so bad. Gosh, this is such a. This is my new favorite expression in the home and in our relationship. The human experience is so intense.
Yeah.
It's just so intense. The ups, the downs, the joy, the grief, the pain, the celebration, the love, the warmth, the food, the sickness, it's all so intense.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
And that's why people have drinks, and what do they say when they have their drink? I just need something to take the edge off. That's what you're saying in moments like that. You're like, I just need to take the edge off this, the intensity of this experience. It's the same reason that people take baths and same people that zone out on their phone. And it's all Taylor and I talk about on the road. And the same, the reason that you booked Black Panther, you just go, sometimes I just need a win. I just need something.
In 6 weeks, I'm going to watch a movie with eight people I like.
It's just so... It's just such an intense experience. That's actually kind of helped me in my like relationship with sports. Mm-hmm. I'm not like super into sports the way that I used to because I'm realizing like this is the intense experience for them.
Wait, who's them?
The athletes.
The athletes. Yeah,
this,
yeah.
This is for my entertainment. And if we win, 100%. Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if we lose, that feels bad. But this is, I have my job. Yeah. I have my livelihood. I have my, like the stuff with my, like these are real things that people face. Everybody has bad days, but they're good, they're bad. That's mm-hmm. their intensity to experience. This is my release. This is, I'm going to sit down and watch this and be entertained by this. Like I've been thinking about the World Cup starts next week. I've been thinking about the World Cup a lot because these are like children. This is the youngest U.S. team ever.
Nice.
And they're so young. But the U.S. missed, the World Cup only happens every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And the last one the U.S. missed. So 8 years. Right. It's a long time. It does not happen that often. And you're only guaranteed, it's hard to make the World Cup.
It's like
Cup.
The Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. Like every 4 years. Italy, Germany, teams that have won recent World Cups miss future World Cups. It's hard to make the World Cup.
Yeah.
And then when you get in, you are only guaranteed 3 games.
Wow.
Because the way that it's, you're not asking for this, but there's a group. So every team plays the other team in the group. The two teams with the best record of the four move on to the tournament stuff. And win, lose, or tie. And you get a certain amount of points. I think it's like 3 for a win, 1 for a tie, none for a loss, something like that. And that's so intense. That's so intense for them.
The fans are so nuts.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And like, so Messi is the greatest soccer player, arguably, of all time. He's certainly in the discussion, but he's never won a World Cup. And he knows going into this, this is my last chance.
Ooh.
And this is the thing that people say about me. And if he wins a World Cup, if Lionel Messi wins a World Cup, he will be unanimously agreed upon as the greatest soccer player of all time. If he wins a World Cup.
But he has to win one.
But he has to win one.
Ugh.
And other people will argue even it's so intense. It's such an intense experience. And think about that ref who's at that game. You know, like the last night, the Thursday or the Monday night football, a ref called decided the game. And now those people are upset and people lost money.
Yeah.
So intense.
And contracts. Yeah. And
Yeah. Ooh.
But you said that using the framework that human existence is intense helps you watch sports?
Yes, because
in the sense that you go, this is my entertainment.
Yeah, this is their intensity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In the same way that comedy, for me, they shouldn't be stressed about me. I need to put them at ease. I know competition and comedy are different, but I'm the entertainment. It's intense for me, though.
Yeah.
I'm like writing sets and I'm trying new material. And one of the shows at Greensboro had like the big screens. I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta look better on screen here. I was looking back at an old photo of when I toured with Chris and I was like, that was the nicest shirt we could afford back then.
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know, like I had like one or two flannels that I had to tour with the whole, because we did not have. Do we now whenever
we just probably went to Nordstrom Rack or we would buy them off season on clearance.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is what we can. My first TV appearance on Heart of the City. That's a Nordstrom Rack discounted flannel.
Yeah, we bought it in June.
And we're like, well, this is the nicest shirt I've ever owned.
Yeah, because we got your pants hemmed.
I'm just saying it's nice.
Never
to
done
like
that before.
It's nice to remember like. I don't know. The same thing with like when I was talking about it, like kind of go, someone passes away. You're like, just let this feel for a second because this is really intense for a lot of people in that person's life.
Well,
you know?
And that's part of why it's so entertaining.
Yeah.
Is the intensity.
Yeah. And but not to like beat yourself up over. I was explaining to my dad about how these World Cup games can end in ties. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what? You know, which is like a very American thing. But I
he was the Ted Lasso character.
He was very much so. I don't understand. Yeah. But you know, that's part of that culture. Oh, side note, I actually love that youth sports can end in ties.
Right? Why?
I love that because that teaches children the valuable life lesson that all that hard work and determination and effort can still get you nowhere in life. Like, that can still amount to absolutely nothing. That feeling of all that work and dedication and effort, and now it's met with personal dissatisfaction and just apathy from everyone around
Apathy's
you.
Apathy is the perfect word.
Welcome to existence, baby. People don't care about your hard work. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Kids sport all, you know what? They should actually make kids sports. 1 in 3 youth sports games should end in a tie just to teach them the full human experience. You win some, you lose some, you tie some. You get to celebrate, you get to cry, and you get to feel blah.
It'd help the parents too.
Yeah. Just yeah.
Chill out.
Chill out.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is, folks, is get ready to, there's going to be some of that, but there will be times like there's a very good moment that, or there's a very good chance that the U.S. will beat Wales. They might lose to Wales. So they beat Wales and then they'll tie England. Mm-hmm. I'm not predicting, I'm saying this could happen. And then you're going to see a bunch of American players clapping at the end of that. And they're going to be happy with that tie. Because it means they get 1 point and they're not like too worried about the rest of the division. They're like, okay, this puts us in good standing going into the next game. So,
okay.
Anyways, you didn't ask for that.
So it's 3 games this week or 2?
3 games next week, starting on first games on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 games next week. So
nice.
Last thing I wanted to say, you and I, we like to talk about the difference between parent and non-parent and how like we like interact in the world with a non-parent.
Yeah.
I think there's no better of an example of the difference of a parent and a non-parent than when a stroller goes by. I think it's all on display right there because a non-parent looks in at the baby.
Okay.
And the parent looks at the stroller.
Yeah, you're probably right. Oh, that's a nice brand.
Yeah, the non-parent's like, aw, and then the baby. And then the parent's like, oh my gosh, big flex.
They didn't have that kind of stroller one night. My kid was a baby.
Ooh, Phil and Ted's. Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Three wheels.
That's incredible. And that's what I bring that up because that's what Taylor and I do every time we're on the road.
She's like, oh.
She's like, look at that little baby. And I was like, that's a $500 stroller. That's $500.
I don't look at strollers anymore because I don't even recognize them.
They look more
taken
and more
on this whole new entity that I don't understand and I don't have to understand.
Yeah.
And so I'm back to looking at the babies.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I'm so happy to be done with the stroller years.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So happy. Yeah.
I would actually say that's an interesting point. One of the best feelings as your kids get older is being at like a theme park or something and seeing all the strollers lined up.
Yeah.
And like, I'm free. I'm free. That world is behind you. You know what it feels like? It feels like when you're in the carpool lane next to stopped traffic.
Yeah.
I'm free, baby. I'm cruising along. Enjoy that traffic jam.
I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My kids got
fantastic.
I got new problems over here too, but at least I'm not.
That's not one of them.
At least I'm not bumper to bumper. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the pod. We appreciate you.
All right. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Wanted to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up level patrons. Thank you so much for your support of the podcast and Dustin Nickerson Comedy. That is Trey Turner, Nathan and Jennifer Merritt, Adam Bush, Jennifer Ashley Downs, Juliana Smith, Jordan Cowan, Code to Grow, Courtney Ibling, Lori Amos, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Teron, Farah Journey, Bonnie Galindo, Carrie Teague, Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, and Tiffany Payne. Thank you so much, everybody.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. There's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's. For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.